as he is in this world, so are we. So we, as he is in this world, so are we.
Who me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are we?
As he is in this world, so are we.
So are we?
As he is in this world, so are we.
Who me?
As he is in this world, so are we.
True indeed,
as he is in this world, so are we.
Get it?
You know his love is sufficient. Ask for a blessing, he send it. To not believe is indignant. Full of grace, can you dig it? He can't be mocked, so don't try it. You think you can and you frying. Satan lies, but don't buy it. To know his love, I'm excited. Release. While falling to my knees, feel like flowing through the breeze, just like Christopher Reeves. Gotta practice what we preach, cause this world could be a beach built on a rock, so storms they won't breach. Say love, y'all know that's what he is. Blesses us with his gifts, cause we are indeed his kids. Peace, he is the son of man. We don't always understand, but need to follow his plan. Pray, it's how we talk to our dad. When we do it, he is glad. Best feeling we can have.
Faith,
we don't have it, we're a mess. Go through trials to get a test, but we pass and get blessed.
Get it.
You are now riding with the Dashboard Pastor, aka DBP. So strap in, get your mind ready, and let's roll.
What's good, peeps? What's up? It is me, Anthony, the Dashboard Pastor. Thank you for coming and checking us out on the DBP. I pray that all was going well for everybody. I pray you had a good week. And let's get it going. So, we are part two of the Proof Verse Example series. I'm going to say this piece and then move forward with what I have for today. I was thinking about it and meditating on it last week, talking about how to speak, basically how we should be interacting and not debating. And the thought came to me that correction, what about correction? And I can hear someone say, well, what does that mean? What do you mean we can't do this? What about when we're correcting someone? And I this was put on my heart. I'll say one thing. One, correction does not have to be harsh. That's one thing. And how when you're correcting a child is different than when you're correcting an adult. Keeping in mind that we're speaking about mutual respect. That was something that's a key piece to this. Respect. If you respect the person whom you're speaking with, your correction, it's coming from a place of love, and it's how you deliver it as opposed to just delivering it. I understand emotions come into this, but again, correction. And sometimes we talk about things like correction, and there's that mentality and that thought process that you don't need to correct everybody. And I'm correction is a very vague word to use, and that can go from trying to correct bad behavior to correcting people's how people speak. Either way, there's there's a time and there's a place, and not every time and not everything is about correcting. What's going on, Zeke? How you doing? Not everything is about, not every time that someone says or does something are we in the spot where we need to correct. As the Bible said, we talked about it in Proverbs 17:28 last week. I believe that was what it was. And that says that even a fool seems wise when quiet. So we got to keep that in mind when we're talking about correction. God put that on my heart. Let's move forward. Today, we're going to talk about forgiveness. And it's interesting. No, I'll just say it. We're going to talk about forgiveness in the context of Proof Verse Example. I have this Bible verse and then we'll get going. It's Micah 6:8. And in it, it says, "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to humbly walk with your God." To do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk with your God. This is not usually the verse people use when speaking about forgiveness. There's several other, and some of them might come as I'm talking. I'm not sure. The context of this, to do what is right. What is right? God tells us to be forgiving. So that's right. to be humble. And to love mercy. What do you think love and mercy is? That's not just love and mercy for ourselves. It's love and mercy, period. So that we can be forgiving of those around us. And I'm going to speak on this from a standpoint of, well, anyway, it'll come off from standpoints of speaking from a mindset of Christians and Christian to non-believers and non-believers as well. It'll be interwoven in the excuse me, in the message. The key thing to think about is forgiveness. And if you believe in what the Bible says, the Bible tells us to be forgiving. Right? So, it's interesting that we tend to, and I'm sitting here, I'm thinking right now, because I wrote this quote down and I forgot to put it here. And I pray God give that to me as I'm talking so that I can share with you the what God gave me. If not, I had to come back and do it later. Anyway, the point, getting to this concept of forgiveness. We tend to forget what we've been forgiven for. And we hold things against other people. The interesting thing about this topic of forgiveness is when in the context of this, you know, of the series, Sunday at church, pastor, and you can check that on Facebook at the churchatthorn.com. We get there and this is what pastor's talking about. Now, the interesting thing is I was writing notes for this, or, you know, writing concepts for this before I went to church, and I get to church and he's talking about forgiveness, and I was like, wow. After church, I showed him. I was like, look at what my next show is. And he said, God's at work. Now, I'm saying that because there's a verse. There's some verses in there. And again, I'm going to have to put this on later. Because I didn't write that down either. But it talks about the unforgiving debtor. Debtor. In this, I'm not going to go into the detail pastor went in, but it's important in the context of what we're talking about. There's a king who loaned out a buttload of money to a servant. The servant was in a massive amount of debt. The servant went to the king and was like, look, man, I can't pay this. There's no way I can pay this. This is too much. Can you please forgive me? And the king was like, all right, man, I got you. I'll forgive you. And this dude leaves the king forgiving him and goes to a servant of his for way less, that owes him way less money than what he owed the king. And this dude is roughing him up over it. Like threatening him, pinning him against the wall, sort of, you better give me my money. And the people that were around were like, wait a minute, didn't you just leave the king and he just forgave you for that? So they go to the king and they're like, hey, just so your boy that you just forgave, this is what he did. And it upset the king. So he goes to him and he's like, all right, well, you got to go to prison over this, man. That's, I forgave you and this is how you treat my people. And the point, we do this constantly. We are constantly forgetting what we've been forgiven for. We grade sin. I talk about that on here all the time. We grade sin. We think that, well, my sin is right here. So because my sin is right here and your sin is way up here, I don't have to sweat it. So I'm a good person and you're not. It's not the case. Because that mentality we keep is a self-righteous mentality. Self-righteous and pride are the same thing. They're like this. So if I'm walking around with a self-righteous mentality, I can easily convince myself that I don't need to feel bad for how I feel about certain things. I don't need to feel bad for how I come across to certain people. And in the context of what I'm talking about for being forgiving, I don't have to feel shame to not forgive someone for what they did to me because I don't do what they do. An example. I don't drink alcohol anymore. Somebody gets drunk and does something because they're drunk, whatever that is. Input what you want to input into that. Whatever that is they do negatively affects me. And I am rubbing it in their nose. See, if you wasn't drunk, you wouldn't have did that. You're just a drunk. You're an alcoholic. You're this. I can't forgive you. Going on and on and on and on and on and on. Right? Forgetting that God forgave me that same day, possibly right before that happened, for a judgmental thought that I had or a judgmental thing that I might have said to somebody. I seen somebody that I looked down on and I spoke on it. And then ask God for forgiveness. He gave me for that. But then I go right to this person and I'm like, nah, man, that's unforgivable. That's unforgivable because what you did is way worse. You could have made a better choice. You could have did this. You could have did that. Well, so could I have. And we forget that. We forget that. We grade sin. We hold other people's sin to a higher standard than we hold our own. Hear that again. We hold other people's sin to a higher standard than we hold our own. I say we because I have been guilty of this several times in my life. We sit here, and when people do this, this, and this, we're so quick to point out, hey, man, you shouldn't have been that. You shouldn't have did this. Oh, man, that's terrible. That's terrible. And it makes me feel better about the sin that I am struggling with. Feel better. Feel no shame. It gives me that, I lost the word I was going to. Anyway, it gives me the ability to just be like, oh, well, I'm straight. Because what I did is not that. We hear it all the time. We hear people saying stuff like, and this is going to rub some people the wrong way, but here we go. Murderers, rapists. We talk, you know, pedophiles. We throw these people under the prison. We say they deserve death. We say they should be locked up, thrown away a key, never given the chance of rehabilitation whatsoever. But what about the people who have murderous thoughts towards people? So you get cut off and you think something about somebody, oh, if I got killed that person. Or that's just one example. Or what if somebody does something to you and in your head you're thinking, all right, man, I can handle that. I can handle that. That's murder. If you see somebody that you look at and you have lustful thoughts in your mind and that person is underage, that is adultery and that is lusting over somebody who is underage. That's the only difference between you and the pedophile is you didn't act on it, but you thought on it. So anyway. And in God's eyes, what I'm saying is on the same playing field. So he's not saying, oh, because they thought about it and didn't do it, they're better. He's not saying that. So get past that. We need to get over that. In God's eyes, if you thought that, it's just as bad as them doing it. So pull yourself off your high horse on down here. And it doesn't have to just be though what I said about, you know, rapists. Again, if you lusted after someone, rather whatever their age is, in your mind, and you saw them, that is the same thing. You are violating. You have mentally violated this person. It is the same thing. Sin is sin is sin. So, why am I saying these things? I'm saying these things because we've got to stop being self-righteous and understand that we too mess up. So if we mess up and we want him to forgive us, this is why in what is called the Lord's Prayer, it says forgive those of their debtors as I am forgiven. What does that mean? That means that because you forgive me, I understand that I need to forgive others. Jesus even talks about it several times in the New Testament. Like, hey, how do you expect your father to forgive you and you can't even forgive them? That's the purpose of the parable of the unforgiving debtor. The concept is, you expect people to do something that you ain't willing to do yourself. If it sounds familiar to those of you who are in the Bible, it is. That is exactly what the Pharisees said. That is exactly to a point what the Pharisees were doing. They were saying, you need to do this. And they had zero desire to want to do all of what they were saying. They couldn't. You know why? Because they set the bar too high. They were trying to reach a bar up here that God knew that they couldn't reach, which was the whole purpose of the law. God knew we couldn't reach that. He's like, I need y'all to see that you ain't all that like you think you are. That's essentially what that was. Check this out. You feel like you all that? All right, well, do this. And here's the thing. God made the Ten Commandments. Man made the other 620, 30, 40 other laws that got attached to the Mosaic Law. That was man that did that. That wasn't God. God was like, y'all can't even follow these 10. And then man was like, oh, we'll one up that. You guys got to do all of this. And if you don't do all this, you're a filthy sinner. God let it happen. Why? So people can be like, hey, so we can see we ain't all that. We're not all of that. Paul even writes about it in the New Testament. Don't think any higher of yourself than you ought to. Why? So that we are not condescending to other people. We're not judgmental to other people. We're not condemning other people for doing stuff when we ourselves have our own cross to bear. We have our own issues and we are not perfect. Another place where this is shown is the woman caught in the adulterous act. The Pharisees went at this woman who was in the act of enter. I mean, kids are on here, so you get it. She was caught in the act. They pulled her out, took her to Jesus, and said, we caught this woman into adultery. What do you do about that? Jesus's point was, well, what about the other person? Where they at? How come we just have her here? I have my own thoughts on that. I won't say my own thoughts about that. I just was reading something and I probably should have had more on that. But anyway, the point is, there's a reason that they just brought her there and took her to Jesus. And Jesus called them on that. Okay, so then if I'm going to condemn her for doing it, what about everybody else? Who else do I need to condemn? When he said he who was without sin cast the first stone, that's what he was saying. You forgetting somebody. You got her here, but where's the other person? And what about y'all? The fact that y'all went in there and pulled her off of what she was doing means that you saw it. You yourself are in sin. What were you doing that you were in the vicinity to see that? How did you know that? What were you doing? That's what he was saying. What were you doing? You so worried about her, but what were you doing? And that is what God is saying to us. That's why we need to be forgiving of people, because God is like, okay, I see what they're doing, but what are you doing? We don't ask that question. We don't be like, oh, you're right. What was I doing? No, we're like, no, well, what I was doing wasn't like what she was doing or what he was doing. So I'm straight. And God is like, no, no, no. Because God, hey, I heard what you were thinking 5 minutes ago, 5 years ago, 5 days ago, 5 hours ago. I heard that. It wasn't good. It wasn't cool at all. So do you want me to give you the same treatment that I give them that you mad at? Our answer to that would be no. But the penalty for being a sin is not any different for anybody else. It's the same penalty for everybody. The penalty of sin is death. I spoke about, when I did the last message, I spoke about James and John, the sons of thunder, the sons of Zebedee. There's a scene in The Chosen, and this is in the Bible as well, where there's some help me, Jesus, why am I elite? Samaritan people who are getting at the Jews. They had issues. There was some racial, ethnic racial tension between them, and so they are coming at the Jews. The two brothers, John and James, are like looking at Jesus like, man, you can rain fire down on them people and just be done with it. And Jesus was like, but you don't really know what you're asking. I could do that, but are you in the clear if I do that? If I brought down fire to punish them for what they did, are you sure you in the clear? Or is that going to mess you up? Made them think. They were like, yeah. Well, shoot. Nope, I'm not okay. Now that you made me think about it, I was just thinking this. I just did this. I just treated this person like this. So maybe I should be quiet. And that's the point. So, we need to be forgiving of other people. We need to forgive others. Because we ourselves are being forgiven on a constant. Peter asked, was it Peter? Yeah, it was Peter. Was asking Jesus, well, how many times am I supposed to forgive? And there's math involved in this, and people get caught up in the math. It's like, hey, well, I'm supposed to forgive people 7 times, and Jesus is like, no, you're supposed to give people 70 times that. And so people get caught on the math, and they're like, oh, so that's 490 times? And people get caught on that. That's not what he's saying. He's saying way more than what you are trying to forgive people for. And even if it was 490 times, he was talking about it in a day. That's a piece that I left out in context. He's like, how many times in a day am I supposed to forgive people? And if 490 times in a day, that's a lot of forgiving. What's the point? Way more than you are willing to forgive people right now. And that's the point he's trying to get at. You want to forgive people a couple times here and here and think you in the clear. No, that ain't it. That's not it, bruh. Because you got all this other stuff going on. And you doing this and you doing that. And every time you mess up, you coming to me and you being like, God, forgive me. I know I messed up. Please forgive me, God. And I'm like, okay, I got you. And then you go over here and someone does something to you and you're like, no, that's unforgivable. Screw that. I have the right to be mad. Now you went right back to what you had done before when you were saying, asking God for forgiveness. And that's pointed out. Oh. So now you went from being in the place of asking me for forgiveness to going right back into doing worse. Because think of this, and you got to hear this. We don't grade sin. I don't believe sin is graded. I will say this, though, and I've said this several times on this show, and I will keep saying this. Pride is the mother of all sin. Self-righteousness is pride. Self-righteousness and pride are the reason there's a devil in hell. Because he started feeling himself. He was like, yeah, I'm the man. So, God don't like pride. And if we are walking around with our nose up, acting like we ain't did nothing wrong, and we point out everybody else's flaws, that's pride. So even what you ask God for, you could have took a pen from your job. It could have been something as small as that. And you ask for forgiveness from God. And then you go and you see somebody else who does something, and now you sitting here judging them and condemning them for something they did. God is like, okay, what you did, what you asked me for forgiveness for was here. And what you're doing now is here, because now you done gotten yourself, you done gotten your feelings, you full of pride, and now you think you can talk and act and be something better than somebody else. Again, going back to the verse where it says, don't think higher than yourself than you ought to. Why? Because you are not all of that. You are just as broken as they are. In a different way. If we had it all figured out, there's a lot of professions that wouldn't exist. We wouldn't have things like depression, anxiety, stress. We wouldn't have fluctuating emotions. There'd be no conflicts. There'd be no war. There'd be none of that if we had it figured out, but we don't. And we forget that. Until we mess up. And then we're so quick to ask God for forgiveness, or let's even backtrack. Let's come off of that. We want people to forgive us for what we do wrong, but we hold what people do wrong against them forever. Man, I'm so sorry. Don't hold this against me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. And let somebody do something to you. Man, I remember 5 years ago. You remember 5 years ago when you did that to me? What? We talking about something that happened 5 years ago? 5 years ago. Man, get over that. Let that go. We can't do nothing about 5 years ago. We done already discussed it, apologized, and moved on. Why are you still talking about 5 years ago? Let it go. But let us do something. Please, please don't hold it against me. Please don't hold it against me. I didn't mean to do this. I'm so sorry. God is saying to us, let it go. So, what does this have to do with proof versus example? If we want to be proof of God's forgiveness, God's love, God's grace, let's even throw that word out there, God's grace. I'm going to talk more about that later, but I'm going to throw that word out there right now. It'll come back. If we want to be proof of all of this, we need to show it. We need to show the fruit. We can't just say God is full of mercy and grace and then condemn every single person that we come into contact with and not forgive anybody for anything that they've done, whether it be big or small, because it's about more than just the size of it. We need to forgive people for what they do to us. If we're not showing that, people are going to read in the Bible where it says God is a forgiving God, and they're going to be like, no, no. Proof. Are you proof of God's forgiveness? Are you proof of God's mercy and grace? Or are you an example of why people don't need to and shouldn't believe that? I'm going to let you marinate on that. All right. Should I say this now or should I save it for the end? I'm going to say what I normally say. I know that I'm passionate about this. God put this on my heart heavily because he was talking, all this stuff I'm saying to you in these both, and the two that I've done now, and the however many more of these I do, God has said all this to me. God was pointing these things out to me. Well, you A, B, C, D, E, and you mad at this person for X, Y, and Z. How does that make sense, son? The point I'm getting to is, I am not condemning you. I am not condemning you. Neither is he. That's not the point. The point is to educate, edify, and lead towards growth. We should be examples of God's goodness. Another piece of that is being forgiven, forgiving. Now, I'm going to say this, forgiving people and letting people walk all over you are two different things. Forgiveness is not a weakness. It takes a strong person to forgive somebody, especially when people just completely violated your trust and done you just mad dirty. It takes a strong person to forgive in that instance. That's strength. It doesn't take anything to hold a grudge. That's not, that doesn't, you don't have to try to hold a grudge. That's a natural thing. If somebody does something to you, it's very easy to hold on to that, fester in it, be mad about it. It takes effort to forgive. Sometimes it takes constant effort to forgive. It's not a decision you make and you just, sometimes every time something reminds you of that, you have to forgive again. That was the point of what Jesus was saying. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continuous thing because it's going to come back. The enemy's not going to let you forget about something that somebody did to you. At every chance, the enemy's going to try to throw it up. Remember this. And you know what Jesus was saying to Peter? Every time that comes, you have to forgive every time. You've got to keep going. This takes strength. This takes patience. This takes courage. This takes integrity. This takes all kind of things to do this. So my point in all of that is, it's hard to forgive. It takes a strong person to forgive. So I'm debunking that bunk statement that people who are forgiving are weak. They are so strong. And they forgive and they move forward. I'm not going to let this stop me. Being unforgiving of somebody and holding a grudge is like drinking poison and hoping that it kills them. Because oftentimes, the other person ain't even thinking about what you are holding on to. They ain't thinking about that. You sitting here mad at somebody, been mad at someone for 15 years. They don't even know nor care. Who's losing sleep over that? Whose health is being affected by that? Not theirs. They're good. I'm good. I'm just living. You the one that's struggling with all this. You the one that's hurting. You the one that's got all this going on. So I'm telling you, let it go for yourself. God said do it because he knows that holding on to these things are going to affect us mentally and physically. So there's one reason to do it. The other one is we need to be proof of God's forgiveness. We need to show the world that. They need to see that. So how do they see that? Through us. As always, like I said, I hope and pray that you hear my heart. You hear where I'm coming from. I pray that this is meditated on, this is soaked in, it comes here, and it works its way here so that you speak this, you live this, you apply this. I pray that it is, you get to see the manifestation of it, you get to plant the seed and see the harvest. All right. I love y'all. Thank you. Come back next week. Have a great week. Have a great, great week. Share this. People need to hear this. People other than you need to hear this. Please share this. Again, as I always say, this has nothing to do with me getting anything about me notoriety. This is about God put a message on my heart, and those under the sound of my voice, my prayers that they hear that, they ingest it, and they share it. Here's a way to share it. Share it by sharing this message, and then share it by applying this to the people in your circumference. I love y'all. Peace.